Good morning. Hey, I'm thankful for you guys. We have a thankfulness theme going on here, and I love that. I love this time of year. I love all the pumpkins and the fall, the leaves, and all that sort of thing. I love the fact that I get a little time off from work. Very thankful for that next week. Get a chance to have Thanksgiving. I pray and wish the best for you guys as we approach this, and that you have some great times with your family and your friends. You know, I'd like to say I really enjoy get a chance to maybe even sneak out to a few movies, you know, here and there and all that. That's fun stuff. And by the way, not related to the sermon today, but my non-spoiler review of Justice League is available in the fellowship hall. Anybody who's curious about that, yeah. Is that what we call it? Is it the fellowship hall? Is that where we... Yeah, I always thought that was kind of a term. It's like we don't fellowship in here. But I guess we don't have to look at it that way. It's good. Yeah, we have lots of good fellowship everywhere here. But that's great. I love the choice of songs you guys do is always great. Though I can't think of two more disparate people than the first two songs. The first one was written by Gary Mabry, who some of you may have known from Abilene Christian, you know, back in the day. I met him years later. There was a time, being in youth groups in the 60s and 70s, I really thought Gary Mabry was going to conquer the world. I mean, I expected to see him on Grammy Awards one day, because this guy was writing songs like nobody back then, just putting them out, you know, left and right, and then all of a sudden it just kind of seemed like it stopped. But he's on Facebook, and I think I'm friending him on there, you know, one time, and he's still around, kind of a happy-go-lucky, you know, person. And then there's Dennis Jernigan, you know, the second guy who went through, you know, some abuse as a child and all this sort of thing. But did you notice, regardless of their background, both of these guys have found reasons to thank God. You know, in the midst of their situations, regardless of what it is, they're both blessing us with these beautiful songs of thankfulness, and they're great songs, and they're great songs. So, just a, you know, great lesson there, I guess, in the way that God uses us in all of that. So, we're going to continue that theme today as we finish up John 17. It looks like here we started that way back in January, and we'll proceed forward with that today. And let me see if I've... There we go. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so thankfulness. As we look and take one last look today at this prayer that Jesus made for his disciples and for all believers, we're included in this as well. I'd like for us to ask ourselves some things today. What are you thankful for? Kind of continue this theme. It's a number of things, and some of them, you know, listed up there today. But I want to submit to you that as a result of our study this year in this prayer of Jesus for us, I want to pick some things out of there and say and see if this resonates with you. You know, can we be thankful for these kinds of things? Verses 2 through 3, are you grateful? Are you thankful for eternal life? Well, that's a big deal, isn't it? It's not just, as we've talked about, it's not just a quantity, the number of days, you know, living forever. I mean, that's a big deal, obviously. But it's also, as we've talked about, a quality. Jesus says, "For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That there's this opportunity to have a quality of life that Jesus calls eternal life as a result of knowing Jesus. Big deal. You know, I wake up today and I think, wow, you know, that's something I can really be thankful for. God has given us a revelation. Now, we normally think of that as the Bible, and that's true. But listen to what Jesus prays here. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. We know God, truly know God, as a result of knowing him through Jesus. God's just not somebody up there in the clouds somewhere. Jesus has a very real presence with us today. And I just allow us to, I just ask us this morning, allow us to enter into that reality, some of these things that we're looking at, and some of these things that we can really be grateful for. Protection. It said that one of the highest of the hierarchy of needs is what? Safety. We have to feel safe or we really can't get much done, right? Isn't it great to know? Aren't we thankful for the protection that Jesus offers to each one of us? Jesus prays, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. We're still here, right? I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. There's a very special protection, a hedge that Jesus has put around us, and we can be sure that it's there. And are you thankful for that today? We all need protection, right? And then the final one on this list here, unity. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me, so that what? They may be brought into complete unity. And a little bit later, I'd like for us to look at that a little bit. What do we mean by the idea that we're in unity, that we're together? I mean, together in what way? Together doing what? You know? But we can be thankful that we have a purpose in all of this. And isn't it good to have a sense of unity with people that doesn't depend upon how much money you have or what the color of your skin is or what your background is? You know, we're coming here together today, and would we be here together if it wasn't for Jesus? I don't think that we would. I don't think I'd even know you today. I'm thankful for that, because we all bring something to each other's lives that we desperately need, and because of that, it makes a difference. I'm really, really thankful for that. And so I'm glad Jesus prayed for our unity. Also, Jesus says in verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, Jesus' followers, might have the full measure of joy within them. Church, are you thankful for joy? Are you joyful? Now, I'm not asking about, are you happy? I'm not asking about, is everything in your life going okay right now? See, this is a joy that transcends that. It transcends the tragedies in yours, in your life and mine. And we've all had them. We've all had them, right? Okay? It transcends all of this grief, all of the sadness. There's this sense in which we can say, as that old hymn says, what? It is well with my soul. I think that's why that's a hymn that's a favorite of so many people out there. That there's this peace like a river that comes over us. And it doesn't even necessarily make sense to us at the time. It's a peace that, what, passes understanding. That's what joy is. It's not about our circumstances. It's about what God is doing in us, in our life. And that brings up the idea of this, our verse this year, right? You know, sanctify them in your truth. Yeah, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. That there's a reality that we live in. You know, the saddest thing is to see a person live in a delusion. We've all seen that, right? And we try to hold people accountable for that, right? If somebody's really a friend and they're just deluded and they're just, you know, living a lie, there's just, you know, stuff that's just messed up going in their lives, you know, what do we do? You know, obviously, we try to help them. Sometimes we might even speak out and say, you know, look, you're off track here. You know, you're deluded about this thing. You know, that's a sad thing when people aren't living in truth, in the reality of it. And Jesus has brought this great measure of truth to us where we can walk in this, and that makes a difference in your life. Are you just simply grateful this morning? Are you simply thankful for truth? That's a big deal. We don't think about it a lot, but it's really, really a big deal to us. And then Jesus uses this statement, and I love this. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Let that one just kind of jump out at you for a minute. Be with me where I am. That's Jesus' prayer for us, is that we hang out with him, that we have a relationship with him right there where he is. We live in Jesus' world, and Jesus' world is really cool because it's a world where heaven and earth come together. He just calls it the kingdom. Come live with me here in my kingdom, because it's a lot better than outside of the kingdom. You know, because the kingdom is a place where God's in charge and God's rule. And that's where I want to live. That's the neighborhood I want to live in. And that's the neighborhood we live all in together. I don't care whether you live in Dallas or Greenville or Rowlett or, you know, any of those cases. We're all living here in the same neighborhood because we're there with Jesus where he is. Are you thankful for that? I'm thankful for that today. That's a huge deal. With all that to be thankful for, I just want to focus on one thing today. We've touched on it a little bit, but we just kind of want to expand on that a little bit as we go forward. Glory. In Jesus' prayer, the word glory is repeated 6 different times. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 10, verse 22, and twice in verse 24. And let's look at verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, the verse we just looked at, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. And the phrase there that I think is significant in addition to the other one we just looked at there is, he says, I want you as a member of my family to see my glory. Have you been invited into this before? Is the idea that I want you to see Jesus' glory? I want to pray about that right now. We didn't do a prayer earlier, so I wanted to kind of save that, you know, for this part here, because I want to pray that God just invites us into this. And by the way, guys, I'm not talking about some just incredibly a mystical thing when I say that. I'm talking about something very, very practical, and we're going to look at that here in a second. If we see Jesus' glory, if it's important enough for Jesus to pray about it, let's pray ourselves into that, okay? So let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this, I know for sure. Your glory is so big and so vast and so wonderful that we can't begin to wrap our heads around it. But we want to invite our heads into it, our spirits into it, our souls into it. Father, if you called us to love us with all our hearts, minds, souls, strength, then we just ask that you pull all of that into that right now, where we get a glimpse of your glory this morning. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your glory. And we pray it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So let's look at these verses as we look at glory today. Verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world begins. Now notice, he's talking about his work here. And Jesus' work is big. You know, it's a lot of things. And, you know, when we know about those things, I mean, I'm not introducing anything new to you guys. You know, we've got veterans in here, you know, and this is good this morning. But notice how he relates the work that he's put on this earth to do with glory on earth. Jesus' work brings us honor. Jesus' work for us brings honor to God and to himself. Whatever that work is, he says, it's bringing honor to God, and it's bringing honor to himself. And so in ushering in this kingdom, in ushering in this new creation, says, this is going to bring me honor. This is going to bring God honor here. And so he obviously puts some importance on this. Look at verse 10. All I have is yours. and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Now, who's the them? Well, we see in context here that this is, he's talking about his disciples, you know? There's a sense in which all of us give glory to God in this work of new creation. When we participate with this, in this ushering in of the kingdom with Jesus, Jesus says, glory comes to him. Did you ever think about that? I mean, as I'm reading these verses, I'm just kind of processing all of it. Did you think about the way that you walk through this life and that we walk with it here with each other, that this is bringing glory to Jesus? I mean, Jesus has already got a lot of glory, you know? And here he is bringing more of this. And so we have a part in this. Are you thankful this morning that you have a part in this? And it doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. What matters is that God has chosen us and brought us into this. And that's a mind-boggling thing. Let's look at these last couple of verses here as we approach verse 24 as well. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So here we are, and this is all bringing glory to God, by the way, in this unified effort of new creation. And this seems like a huge task, you know? Do you ever start to feel a little overwhelmed by this stuff? You know, we're talking about glory, we're talking about the kingdom coming in, we're talking about new creation, and you just kind of say, well, you know what, I'm just kind of Barry. You know, I'm just kind of a guy, you know? I mean, I have people come up to me all the time and say, you know what, you have a familiar face. They do that to me all the time. I'll remind them of somebody else, and so I must just, you know, just kind of average, you know, right? And so that's kind of the way I think of myself. I don't think of myself as anybody special. I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of a guy, you know? And yet, you know, and you may think of yourself, I don't know how you think of yourself. I'm just relating on a personal level here. But yet, here I am. So what is it that, you know, how is it that I could have a part in something this big as bringing glory to God, glory to Jesus, and in this work of bringing in the kingdom, bringing in God's rule into his life? Well, there's a couple of Old Testament verses I want to go to here that I think bring some clarity into this. The Proverbs are great because they're very practical, right? That's why we've always kind of liked the Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 19:1. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Wow. I'm not good at overlooking offenses, folks. If I get insulted, I tend to, well, who do you think you are? You know, I think that's just kind of our natural human reaction, right? You know, we don't like to be offended. But now notice, it's to one's glory to overlook an offense. See, I think the idea here is that this glory that Jesus is talking about and that he shares with us gives us the power to do what we just couldn't otherwise do. I mean, I don't like to overlook offenses, you know. And yet there's something about this glory that we're talking about there that comes into play. And when our behavior is like this, because people don't expect this, right? They're not expecting us to turn the other cheek or, you know, any of those kinds of things. What happens? Jesus says that brings him glory and it brings you glory. Kind of sets us apart, doesn't it? It's just not the way people operate on their level. There's this other verse that I know we've looked at in the past, and I want to touch on it too, because this is all just kind of encapsulation review today. Habakkuk 2:14. It's a confusing verse. The earth is being filled with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Now, how can the waters cover the sea? The waters are the sea, you know? But it's this idea of this use in the language here that through God's family, the prophet Habakkuk is envisioning that these things are coming to light. The earth is being filled with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. There's this idea of water upon water upon water. What's happening? The glory of God is being saturated all over the earth because God's got a lot of family and he's got a lot of followers. And everywhere we go, there is this saturation. Picture just a huge river, an ocean just rolling in here and it covering the way that we would, because that's kind of the nature of water, right? I mean, you ever try to, you know, get water out of something, you know it's kind of tough. You know, it just kind of tends to saturate stuff. That's what's happening here with the glory of God, this saturation. Now, why is this? It'll go back to another old hymn here, right? This is one of those old hymns that got it right. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Because see, you and I may be looking around at this world and saying, sorry, I'm not seeing God's glory. I'm not seeing the saturation that you're talking about. Whether we see it on a given day or not, God is giving us small victories, and it's all accumulating because what's happening? This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and what? And earth and heaven be one. There is this interlocking, there is this intertwining of heaven and earth. That's what's happening when the kingdom invades there. There's a reason why Jesus had us pray in the prayer that he gave us to say that what? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's never God's intention that these be separate. And that's why the kingdom comes and invades. And now it's happening. It won't happen in its culmination until Jesus returns, but it's started. I want to recommend a book by one of my favorite authors. You've heard him mention it. N.T. Wright, Simply Jesus. It's easy to remember. It's just two words. Simply Jesus. If you have a chance to get hold of it, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Because I know in that Wright is making in his writing there, he's making these statements like this. In Jesus' healings, in the miraculous catches of fish, in the outlandish feedings of the crowds, in turning water to wine, in quieting storms, and walking on water, it's as if to say something new is happening, and it's happening to the material world. It draws attention to the fact that the kingdom is here and now things are beginning to change. Because when God rules, things change and they change for the better there. Now, we're just seeing signposts right now. These Jesus-shaped signposts indicating what is to come. A whole new creation starting with Jesus itself. But be sure of this, it's happening. And to a great extent, it's happening because of you. Look at Proverbs 23. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. I think this goes back to something we brought up in class today. And by the way, if you're not in class on Sunday morning, boy, you're really missing something great. I just highly recommend it there. Family honor. See, I think glory, to a great extent, and there's multiple, you know, meanings of it. It goes beyond that. But let's look at glory for a second. It's just the idea of honor. It's to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. In ancient cultures, the idea of family honor was big. And if you go a few generations back, even in this country, family honor is considered a big thing, that, you know, to be a member of this family means that, you know, that you have certain core values that we share, and that, you know, we behave in a manner that honors the family and all of these kinds of things. And so since this seems to get lost on us today, let's remind ourselves with a couple of movies why this is still the case. See, the movies pick up on this. because they've always kind of been a part of the, you know, the of picking up on the pulse of society and things of this nature. To be a Skywalker means to be family and to live up to your duty and to your honor. I mean, think of what happens there in Star Wars, right? Luke Skywalker thinks he's just a provincial farmer. You know, maybe that's all I'm going to be. But in the process of the story unfolding, what happens? Luke begins to find out who he really is, you know. He doesn't find out until much later, but he's the son, and so is Leia. They're the son and daughter of a princess. And so Luke is called to something much bigger. He's got to save an empire. He's got to defeat an evil empire and save a bunch of folks in the process. He has no idea that he's cut out for this. But once he gets an idea of this calling, he plunges right into it with this youthful exuberance. And of course, I guess this is a spoiler alert. He blows up the Death Star, okay? Luke defeats the Empire, all right? And if you haven't seen it, sorry, you've been in hibernation for 40 years, so, okay, so, yeah, and Darth Vader's his father and all that kind of stuff. All right, so we know this, right? But, see, these things are hardwired into us. Otherwise, why would the movies pick up on this so much? Over and over again, he does this because he realizes, I'm a Skywalker. I'm the son of a princess. I have a big calling. It's the same way with you guys. You're a son and a daughter of God. You're called to help usher in a new kingdom where God's rule. And I'm going to say, God's rule is a lot bigger than the Rebel Alliance, folks. Okay? You know, it's a much bigger deal. Another place that we see it here is in Disney's Mulan. And, you know, the basic summary here, you know, her father can't serve in the Chinese military anymore. He's ailing. She feels a family honor for her family to participate, but there are no sons in the family, so she takes the spot by disguising herself as a male and all of these kinds of things. So she's considered somebody who's typically just very unqualified to do any kind of service in that. So she, as I mentioned, she impersonates the man, and accompanied by her trusty dragon Mushu, she uses her smarts to help ward off a total Hun invasion. After this is over, and she ends up being a significant part in defeating the Huns, let's watch a quick short clip of what happens, because I think this is really cool. So if we can cue that up, guys, we'll bring that up and we'll watch that clip, and we'll take it on from there. Yeah. Thank you.
all due respect, Your Excellency, I think I've been away from home long enough.
Then, take this, so your family will know what you have done for me. And this, so the world will know what you have done for China.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Even without the sound, we can describe the gist of it there. That was obviously the emperor. And in the course of the story there, she has to face the emperor there at the end after impersonating a male, and she doesn't really know what to expect. But as you can see, what happens there at the end? What does the emperor give her? He gave her glory. He gave her honor there because she made a significant contribution into defeating the enemy there. And I love the part that they're at the end, that even though it's the emperor, she hugs him. She hugs him there. And he's a little taken back on that, but he doesn't push her away. And so Mulan is given glory there. She's given. She understood there that even though there was a limitation being placed on her, she had a calling that was higher, and it was to do something to contribute there. Her family honor meant something to her. There's a portion in this movie where the emperor says, "A single grain of rice can tip the scale." Well, Mulan was this single grain of rice. And that grain of rice is also you guys this morning, you know. You're in situations out there today where you may be the only grain of rice, but that's all that it takes. That's all that it takes there. So I want to make this suggestion this year. As you get together with your families on Thanksgiving dinner, why not hold an honor dinner for your family? Why not recognize and celebrate the ways in which your family members have brought honor to your family? Okay? And by the way, that doesn't mean everybody in your family has done it in exactly the same way, right? We have differences. You know, we have diversity. But in those core values that we share, we may have gone about it in different ways, but those things have still brought honor to your family there. And so we might look at ways while sitting at the table that we could focus on that. But while being very, very thankful for all God that has given us and all that He has blessed us, thanking God for the ways that He's given us the ability to bring honor to the family there. And then finally this morning, I want to look at this. As you noticed in the clip, I mentioned the part where Mulan hugs the emperor there. You don't serve a God like that. You serve a God who hugs you first. And there'll come a day when your ultimate glory will come, Jesus in the book of Matthew, he speaks about this. And it says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" And the reason why this happens with you one day, and it happens with me, has to do with that verse over there in John 17:24 that we focused on today. "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Notice he says, "I want those you have what? Given me." God has chosen you for this. Folks, do we realize how huge a role God has given to a single grain of rice here? That's us there. It's not just because I'm so talented or you're so talented, I'm so great, you're great. It's because God has chosen us. And I look forward to that day in a new heaven and a new earth where the God says, you know what? You were faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to put you over a lot of things. And that's a responsibility that God is training us for right now, because heaven and earth are going to become one. And so I just invite us into that. I invite us into the honor, into the glory, and into all of the peace that passes understanding and the joy that we've talked about today. And so if you're not a part of this, we just, anybody who wants to be to accept Jesus as Savior, be baptized into Him, this is good stuff. So we invite you into that today. We'll have a time to for you to come forward and express that desire to be baptized when we sing this song today. We'll also have a time of prayer later, where we can pray about maybe some of the things that are going on, and how we can help each other with these things. So if you need to respond to this in any way this morning, just please, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.